I'm Rachel Maddow with the Pioneer Valley Planning Commission and the Franklin Regional Council of Governments for Valley Free Radio, reminding you that legally, bicycles are vehicles and bicyclists have the same rights and responsibilities and should observe the same rules as motorists. For more information on bicycle rights and safety, go to www.massbike.org.
Tune into Valley Free Radio, Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. for Reggae Down, a reggae music show with Rasta Paul as host, and reggae music from all over the world, from Jamaican to Iceland. Reggae music is listened to, popular in the Rastafarian culture, and values that apply to all people. That's Reggae Down, Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. on Valley Free Radio.
We love the reggae. We love the dancehall. We love the music. Yeah. We love the music.
I tried to quit on my own, but it never worked. I came to my first NA meeting and didn't know what to expect. I heard people talk about the same feelings I had and knew I wasn't alone. Recovery happened for me in NA. It can happen for you, too. Call Narcotics Anonymous toll-free at 1-866-NA-HELP-U or log on at newenglandna.org.
Hi, I'm Ruthie. And I have a recorder.
Stick them up.
Listen to Out There on Wednesdays, 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio for interviews and snippets of life from the paths and streets of Northampton. You can hear past editions of Out There archived at weatherbeard.com/out there.
And that is today, Wednesday, November 28th. Says the computer. Thanks for tuning in today out there. We'll be on for the next hour and then followed by Democracy Now! At 5 o'clock. For today's show, I'm still winging that one. I got some clips. I got some of my own, what do you call it, editorializing about hair removal kits that I saw in a store window downtown this week when I was doing downtown trash. And also I have an interview with Frances Crowe. She has a power wheelchair. Now, maybe you'll see her around town getting out on her own. And she's also having a 100th birthday coming up in the spring. And, yeah, maybe some stories while I think about what stories I might have, let me just play this 1 minute clip from when I was doing downtown trash earlier this week. So I'm just emptying downtown trash barrels and saw Linda walking down that sidewalk. What are you up to today, Linda?
I'm just hanging out here in beautiful Northampton, having a wonderful morning so far.
That's not what you told me 5 minutes ago.
I know.
I said, how you doing? You said, it can't get much worse.
I know.
What's so bad?
I'm homeless. I had a mansion out in South Hadley. Got involved with the wrong men. They did terrible things to me. I ended up going to jail because of it. While I'm in jail, this fireman cleaned out my savings account. Took all the copper piping from my house. Trashed my house.
Is there anything you want people to know, especially people who might like look at you and stereotype you in some certain way? Or
yeah, walk in my shoes, and you'd be the same way.
All right. Next, we have a little some of yours truly, given my my rant, a hairy rant.
I'm looking through the glass into a store window, and I'm looking at these boxes that say, one of them says, hair removal sugar wax kit for face and body. Certified organic and washable. The other one says, quick and easy wax strips, legs and body. All hair types, express. Natural hair removal system. And there's a picture of a woman with blonde hair and thin and sleek with very smooth skin. And she's smiling. Now, if I understand correctly, wax strips are where you put this thing on your body with these wax strips on your body, and then you yank your hair out by the roots. I don't think she should be smiling. And natural hair removal system. Yeah, well, fire's natural, too. You could burn your hair off. That's natural. When I see this, I just feel like I come from a different planet. Oh, it just saddens me that we do these things to ourselves and that the social pressures are such that it's been normalized. On the back it says that this is a gentle, all-natural alternative to salon waxing. Well, shoot, what about an alternative to... This is a very rough, painful, destructive alternative to letting your hair naturally grow. Gosh, in one of these boxes on it says, improving the health and lives of women. It gently removes hair by the roots so your skin stays smooth for weeks. Why is that even important? That's what I don't get. Who the heck cares? Apparently, a lot of people do. And what gets me the most upset is when I hear women or girls think that their own body hair is disgusting. And that they got to get it off of themselves. My niece is 12 and a half, and her body hair is starting to become evident to herself and probably others. So she's struggling right now with... Actually, her parents don't let her shave, and she's really struggling with it. I think all the other girls in 7th grade shave their legs. She's allowed to shave her armpits. So we've had some conversations about it when I've been home in Kentucky. The biggest thing I want her to make sure she's aware of is just to know that the choices she's making are based on peer pressure, which is fine. I understand we have this culture. We want to fit in the culture. We have certain standards and we want to fit in certain ways. But I just want her to know that it's a choice based on those pressures and not a choice based on anything natural. Here's another sign I noticed this morning. Downtown, so downtown on Pleasant Street, downtown Northampton, right by the intersection of Pleasant and King, there's a shop that the sign says GBS Brows, eyebrow threading and a tattooing. What the heck eyebrow threading is, I don't know, but it sounds very painful to me. It sounds like, I imagine, you know, when you cut yourself and you get sewed up, or at least back when I was a kid, you know, you get sewed up with needle and thread going through your skin. And that's what I imagine threading when I hear eyebrow threading. Anyway, the sign, the sandwich board sign outside the door, that today it says, facial threading is the best alternative to waxing and tweezing. Well, what about letting it grow, people? I'd say that's the best alternative. Or scissors, you know, trim it when it gets longer than you like. And it says, dermatologist recommended. What planet are the dermatologists on? Or wait, dermatologist, singular. Some one dermatologist somewhere recommended it. Oh, here's another store I noticed in downtown Northampton recently, also down on Pleasant Street. It's called Disappearing Ink, INC. It's tattoo removal. These are tattoo removal. So on one side of the street, you can get your tattoos done. And on the other side of the street, you can get them removed. This is a weird culture. Yeah, I'm pretty conservative and narrow-minded, if you hadn't noticed. No, it's just, I can't believe we're spending our time and money and energy in these things when there's real problems and inequality in the world. And then I'm imagining devoted immigration rights lawyers, workers' rights lawyers, environmental lawyers who've experienced that they'll get greater respect if they do things like shave and dress a certain way to fit a certain image, that they'll get more respect in the courtroom and among their peers. Like, can you think of any bearded women in positions of power? There probably are. I just don't watch TV much, so I don't see those images and I wouldn't know.
All right, that's the update from Planet Ruthie. You're listening to Out There. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And let me play a
song. How about some Tom Lehrer, A Christmas Carol?
Very familiar type of song is the Christmas.
Let me start that at the beginning.
One very familiar type of song is the Christmas Carol, although it is perhaps a bit out of season at this time. However, I am informed by my disc jockey friends, of whom I have none, that in order to get a song popular by Christmas time, you have to start plugging it well in advance. So here goes. It's always seemed to me, after all, that Christmas, with its spirit of giving, offers us all a wonderful opportunity each year to reflect on what we all most sincerely and deeply believe in. I refer, of course, to money. And yet none of the Christmas carols that you hear on the radio or in the street even attempts to capture the true spirit of Christmas as we celebrate it in the United States. That is to say, the commercial spirit. So I should like to offer the following Christmas carol for next year as being perhaps a bit more appropriate. Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when. Kill the turkeys, ducks, and chickens, mix the punch, drag out the dickens. Even though the prospect sickens, brother, here we go again. On Christmas Day, you can't get sore. Your fellow man you must adore. There's time to rob him all the more. The other 364. Relations, sparing no expense'll, send some useless old utensil or a matching pen and pencil. Just the thing I need. How nice. It doesn't matter how sincere it is, nor how heartfelt the spirit. Sentiment will not endear it. What's important is the price. Hark, the Herald Tribune sings, advertising wondrous things. God rest ye merry merchants, may ye make the Yuletide pay. Angels we have heard on high tell us to go out and buy. So let the raucous sleigh bells jingle, hail our dear old friend Kris Kringle, driving his reindeer across the sky. Don't stand underneath when they fly by.
Ooh, that was Tom Lehrer. There was a mention of Kris Kringle, which I didn't know what that was a reference to. Till I asked Alex, my housemate, and he said that's another name for Santa Claus, which made me think of, now I don't know if this is true, I may just be spreading rumors, but I was over at a friend's house on Saturday, and I said, oh, where's your daughter? And they said, oh, she's at Yankee Candle because Santa Claus is being lowered from a helicopter. And it was a conversation in Spanish. Maybe I lost something in translation. Oh, I don't know. Other different planets. Yep, this is out there. Okay, here's something else I wanted to rant about. So I've been thinking a lot the last couple days. I think especially when the weather gets colder and people who don't ride bikes all year might think that biking is harder when it's colder. I mean, it's harder getting dressed and it's harder in some ways. It's harder. But it's not that hard. It's still very possible. And at the beginning of the show, I played the bike safety PSA from Rachel Maddow just to encourage people, just to keep in people's minds that it is biking season, still biking season. All you got to do is dress properly. So I've been thinking, so I bike for a living, hauling a trailer full of trash a lot of the time. And people often say to me, wow, you must be in really great shape. Wow, that's amazing. Oh, I could never do that. And I appreciate the respect, but a lot of people could do this kind of work. I don't want it to be like I'm doing something, some impossible feat. No, I want people to be able to, you know, to challenge themselves to do what they can do. Not everybody can do everything, but I feel like in many cases, human beings, like we undersell ourselves to ourselves. I don't like to use the word sell, but so human beings, like we're built to be very adaptable and resilient, and our bodies are capable of much more than we give them credit for. In many situations, I feel like you just, you know, start with a little bit and add more, whether it's, I don't know, like, you know, walking somewhere or biking somewhere or, actually I'm going to have this clip with Frances Crowe. I'm going to play pretty soon too about her power chair. Start small. I've also been thinking about like, so if, last month, I played an interview with a family from France that contacted me through Couchsurfing, and they built a rickshaw, and then we traveled with a rickshaw together for a week down to Connecticut, a dad and three kids, ages 8, 10, and 13. And we didn't know when we left, like we didn't have any rickshaw pulling experience. We didn't know how our bodies would handle it. But no, we survived. I remember the dad saying that he wanted his children to push themselves physically, so to get a sense of what their limits were and not just, you know, assume that they couldn't do something. I feel like our current human culture in this industrialized country has made us think that many things are impossible for the human body, when actually they're really quite possible. So I just want I want us to believe in ourselves and our physical capabilities as much as possible. I understand I'm also coming from an ableistic perspective, and that many people are dealing with health issues and all that, but just, you know, I hope we can do what we can what else? You're listening to WXOJ 103.3 FM in Northampton. Here is, let me just get to that clip with Frances Crowe.
So Frances, how are you doing? How are you doing?
I should provide a little more input. So Frances is a Northampton resident, longtime Northampton resident and well-known peace activist, and I do some yard work for her, and I have over the last 15 years. And so I've seen her. I think we met maybe when she was probably mid 80s. And she's coming up on 100. So, she's been kind of homebound lately, or it's been hard for her to, she hasn't been able to get out on her own power.
Physically, mentally, how are you feeling these days?
I struggle.
Uh-huh.
You know, I have to keep reminding myself to do my exercises and work harder.
Uh-huh.
But I'm inundated with things that I want to do,
mm-hmm.
Things I want to read, very interesting articles mm-hmm. in The Nation and The New Yorker.
Uh-huh.
The Progressive.
Yeah, so Frances, you just got this electric, I don't know, what do you call it?
Electric wheelchair.
Oh, wheelchair.
I can take it outdoors when the weather's good. It'll take me downtown.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, get in it and push a button.
Yeah. Can you specify what you mean by good weather? Because that means different things to different people.
No snow on the ground.
Yeah, no snow and ice.
Yes, well, I'll cross over the other side of Elm Street, the Smith side, the walks are much better.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Smith campus, you know, I'll be able to go around. But there's a foundation that has these chairs, and they let people use them who need them,
mm-hmm.
as long as they need them, and then we turn them back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just paid $20 for it, which is the cost of transporting it over here.
And you said that Medicare and private insurance paid the rest?
Well, no, they would if I was buying a new one. But this is just one that
This is just a used, a loaner.
Used, but it works very well.
Yeah. So, because new, they cost about $2,500, yes. You were saying. So, like, how does it feel to be able to just go out there on your own mm-hmm. and move your little joystick around and go where
great.
You want?
And once in a while, you know, I sort of forget that I have to be careful because I would just like to get up and walk.
Mm, uh-huh.
And I don't have the energy or the balance. That's yeah. the big problem.
Yeah, yeah, that's my mom's problem. Mm.
Yeah. Otherwise, life is good.
So I should put in a little plug to remind people to shovel their walkways, right?
Oh, yes. So is the bicycle path shoveled?
It's plowed, yeah. So that's a really nice place for people. Like, I often see people in electric wheelchairs on the bike path because it's a continuous, like, you know, stretch miles of
oh, great.
Without any steep curb cuts or without snowbanks in the way, usually.
Are you getting in the wheelchair?
Yes, just all right. Show her.
Okay, but hold on. Before you do, remember what we worked on last week?
Yes.
All right. So look where you're parked compared to where the wheelchair is, all right?
Yes, I have to park.
Perfect.
Yeah. That's cool. I was going to ask who helps you get in, but that's cool. You can do it on your own.
I even have a horn. We're going to have, for my birthday, we're going to have a walk
uh-huh.
from the Fine Arts, the new art center to
uh-huh. City on Holly Hall. Street. Uh-huh.
And at 12. And you're to bring the sign of what you want to achieve
mm-hmm.
in the next years of your life. And then we'll come back and they say birthday cake.
Nice.
This is good.
So, Frances, this is for your 100th birthday coming up in March. Do you have a date? When is the date?
It's March 16th. It says March. My birthday is the 15th.
All right.
So, stay tuned. March 16th, Frances' 100th birthday. You're listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Yeah, that was an interview with Frances Crowe. Next on the show, I think I will read... this is from Mass Slavery Apology. I want to read their statement, a statement of apology and commitment. This is from a booklet that I got last night at a talk downtown, book reading at First Churches, sponsored by UMass Feinberg Series. Gosh, I'm so sorry. I don't remember the names of the book readers, but it was, what was the author's name? But she wrote a book about a girl who became a woman, I guess. I'm not sure how much of her life the book covered. It's called Never Caught. And it was about girl or young woman that was one of Martha Washington's or Martha and George Washington's, that she was enslaved by Martha Washington or Martha and George Washington. And it was kind of about her perspective, you know, this country newly liberated from Great Britain, and her perspective as someone enslaved by the President of the United States. Okay, so this is a statement of apology and commitment. So, slavery in the years of racial hatred and violation since, encompassing hundreds of years of terror, suffering, and murder, have had a profound role in every aspect of our country's development. Slavery formed the foundation of our economic, political, and social systems. According to the authors of The Color of Wealth, African slavery produced the initial startup capital for what would become the basis for capitalism in the United States. The wealth it created continues to enrich those families and institutions that originally profited from slavery. Slavery's role in our history has a deep effect on us emotionally and psychologically, and this history continues to influence us all every day in both ways, obvious and unconscious. Slavery has done immeasurable harm, and as whites, we know that the effects of it are our responsibility. Because of this, We are compelled to offer our apology to the descendants of all who were enslaved in the United States. We hope that our government will one day hold itself accountable for the devastation wrought by slavery and its legacy of persistent and often deadly racism. In the meantime, we are writing now, as individuals, to take a step toward healing the wounded relationship between us, people of European ancestry, and you whose ancestors were enslaved by European Americans. Recognizing that our histories and destinies are bound together, we do this in the hope that the wounds may start to mend. That's a mass slavery apology. There's a lot more information in this booklet about like the history and current situation. One thing I would like to mention is coming up this Saturday is the Western Mass Surge monthly meeting. Surge is showing up for racial justice, an acronym for that. One of the campaigns of Surge is the reparations campaign. If you're interested in paying reparations through the Surge website, you can go to wmsurj.com/reparations or just look for Western Mass Surge reparations. Let's see. Last I knew, the three main projects that the reparation payments were going to support was Springfield No One Leaves, helping people who've lost their homes find permanent housing again, and also a farm back to the land, sort of farm, black-owned farm community or something in the Hudson River Valley. And also BLM 413. Anyway, so the monthly meeting of Western Mass Surge is this Saturday, December 1st, at the Northampton Friends Meeting House. That's 43 Center Street in downtown Northampton. And that's Saturday. So potluck, it's a morning meeting. Potluck will begin at 8:30 in the morning, and there'll be food available throughout the meeting. You can just come for the potluck if you want and like build relationships. You come if you can't bring any food. The meeting itself will start at 9 and there is childcare provided. Now, what next? Here's another thing I want to mention. Oh, by the way, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. So now that lots of the leaves have fallen from the trees, it's a lot easier to see lights at night, street lights, outdoor lights, indoor lights. Actually, in my house, when night comes, we close the curtains, not just to reflect the heat from the wood stove inside the house, but also so our harsh LED interior lights don't pierce the neighborhood going through the windows. But I also want to encourage people to turn off exterior lights when they're not using them. And winter nights are really beautiful. If you get a chance to see the sky and the moon and the stars and all that. I have a flyer in my hand that's called Safe and Effective Outdoor Lighting in the Pioneer Valley. And so this is a flyer that I printed off the internet, actually from James Lowenthal's website. James Lowenthal is an astronomy professor at Smith College. I've interviewed him for this show a few times. And he's very passionate about reducing unnecessary lighting in our town and planet. So this is actually a flyer that he put together. And this is a flyer that you can give your neighbors if they have lights that are excessively bright, blue, poorly aimed, they're shining into your yard. Hey, I like to read. So here goes this flyer. So not all outdoor lighting is the same. Good lighting should be fully shielded with the light going down only, not out or up, and not too blue, and no brighter than necessary. Bad lighting causes glare and light pollution. It wastes energy. It's dangerous and unsightly. is linked to health effects ranging from sleep disruption to cancer, and it's responsible for millions of bird and mammal deaths yearly, and it ruins the dark, starry sky. The basic rule of thumb is that light bulbs shouldn't be directly visible except from directly underneath the fixture. So this flyer encourages homeowners or managers or business owners to fix any lights that might be, that could be improved, that might be too bright or, you know, shining in the neighbor's eyes. So here's some suggested solutions to problem lights. You can re-aim the light so that it shines down only and not beyond your property line. You can replace an unshielded light bulb with a shielded light bulb. You could replace an unshielded fixture with a fully shielded fixture, or just add a shield to an existing fixture. You could replace the light bulb with a warmer one. If you look on the light bulbs, you know, they have these ratings of like 2700 K Kelvin, 3000 K, whatever. The lower the K, the warmer the light. The higher the K, the like harsher or more blue the light. So this should be like maximum 3000 K. You can replace uplighting with downlighting, and turn lights off when not needed, like, you know, an hour after the close of business or at nighttime when there's no one around. Or you can put them on a motion sensor or a timer or something. All right. And the FAQ questions people might have. Can I still keep my outdoor lighting? Of course, but please keep the light on your own property and not your neighbor's. Properly shielded lights provide better visibility. And please turn them off when not needed. Thank you. What's the big deal about glare? Glare, which is unwanted light shining sideways, makes it harder to see the things you want to see. And glare is especially dangerous when it blinds drivers, bicyclists, and pedestrians. The elderly are particularly sensitive to glare. So what's bad about the blue-rich white light, like the high on the Kelvin? The blue light is more likely to disrupt sleep and ruin night vision and causes more glare in the human eye, making it harder to see what you want to see. It also scatters more in the atmosphere. LED lights with correlated color temperature, also known as CCT, of 5000 K make 7 times more light pollution than LEDs that are 3000 K or less. Yeah, I've noticed that, like if there's a LED light on, it just bounces off and it pierces the curtains sometimes. It's hard to stop that stuff. Okay, so, and people also ask, well, doesn't more lighting protect my property from criminals? Well, according to this, no. Scientific studies have found no confirmed link between outdoor lighting and reduced crime. In fact, bad lighting causes glare, which leads to high contrast and deep shadows that can hide intruders. Burglars use your lights to see where they're going, too. Daytime and nighttime crime rates are the same regardless of lighting. Safety is enhanced by better lighting, not more lighting. Well, one of the things I think about the light and the dark and the crime or fear of crime, I know that, like, for me, I like having shadows around because, to me, the shadows represent a safe place, like a place that I can hide, a place that I can be invisible when I need to. But if everything is lit up, I just feel so extremely vulnerable. Is outdoor lighting regulated by law? Usually. For example, Northampton Code Section 350-12.2 requires that all light fixtures shine downward only, with no light escaping above horizontal and no glare. So the lights should not be directed off the property, according to Northampton City Ordinance. And the city code also specifies maximum permitted illumination levels. All right, there's more things here. But if you want more information, if you're shopping for a bulb, look for the fixture seal of approval by the International Dark Sky Association. You can also go to the International Dark Sky Association website if you're interested in more things, or if you want flyers to give to your neighbors about dangers or, I don't know, risks of light pollution and things that people can do. Also, you can go to James Lowenthal's website. If you just look up Smith College Astronomy, James Lowenthal, you'll find it. There's also a citizen group that's formed recently called Northampton City Lights. And we're having a meeting tonight. If you want to come, give me a call at this radio station when I'm playing a song, 585-1033. And thanks for listening to Out There today. Here on Valley Free Radio, you can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. I think there's like 145 shows on the archives now. All right, so being a trash hauler and all the holidays coming, H-A-U-L, days, holidays, those Amazon boxes, people are starting to order them. I got to play this song. Thanks to Pete Seeger for this one. Oop, no. I didn't prep this song right yet. Here we go.
Mr. Thompson calls the waiter, orders steak and baked potato. He leaves the bone and gristle and he never eats the skin. The busboy comes and takes it with a cough, contaminates it, puts it in a can with coffee grounds and sardine tins. And the truck comes by on Friday and carts it all away. 1,000 trucks just like it are converging on the bay. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. If those of you who know this song will help me out, we'll get the right feeling. You have to mutter along with me. Garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up the seas with garbage, garbage, garbage. What will we do when there's no place left to put all the garbage? Garbage, 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 garbage. Mr. Thompson starts his Cadillac and winds it down the freeway track, leaving friends and neighbors in a hydrocarbon haze. He's joined by lots of smaller cars, all sending gases to the stars, and there it forms a seething cloud that hangs for 30 days. And the sun licks down into it with an ultraviolet tongue, turns it into smog, and then it settles in our lungs. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up the sky with garbage, garbage, garbage. What will we do when there's nothing left to breathe but garbage, 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 garbage? Getting home and taking off his shoes, he settles with the evening news while the kids do homework with the TV in one ear. Garbage. While Superman for the thousandth time sells talking dolls and conquers crime, dutifully they learn the date of birth of Paul Revere. In the papers there's a piece about the mayor's middle name. He gets it read in time to watch the All-Star Bingo game. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. We're filling up our minds with garbage, garbage. What will we do when there's nothing left to read, and there's nothing left to need, and there's nothing left to watch, and there's nothing left to touch, and there's nothing left to walk upon, and nothing left to talk upon, nothing left to see, and nothing left to be but garbage, garbage, garbage. In Mr. Thompson's factory, they're making plastic Christmas trees, complete with silver tinsel and a geodesic stand. The plastic's mixed in giant vats from some conglomeration that's been piped from deep within the earth or strip mined from the land. And if you question anything, they say, why don't you see? It's absolutely needed for the economy. Oh, garbage, 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 garbage. Their stocks and their bonds, all garbage, garbage. What will they do when their system goes to smash? There's no value to their cash. There's no money to be made, but there's a world to be repaid. Their kids will read in history books about financiers and other crooks and feudalism and slavery and nukes and all their knavery. To history's dustbin they're consigned, along with many other kinds of garbage, garbage, garbage.
Thanks to Pete Seeger for that. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. During that song, I got a call from Kat Berry, who informed me of the name of the author of the book that I was just mentioning, Never Caught, Washington's Relentless Pursuit of... the title's kind of long. Ona Judge is the name of the enslaved girl, woman, that Washington and George Washington and Martha Washington had. But the author's name... is Erica Armstrong Dunbar, who spoke at First Churches last night. And that book, there's been a whole library reading group thing. So that book is at all the libraries if you're interested in reading it. One of the interesting things that was mentioned at the talk last night, I'll try and get this right. So Ona, the young woman, the girl, she was moved. She was Martha Washington's, for lack of a better term, favorite slave. And so she moved with Martha and George Washington when they went to Philadelphia, I guess when George Washington became president. But then apparently blacks in Philadelphia had, I guess slavery was illegal then or something, and blacks in Philadelphia knew that, well, I say they knew, apparently the attorney general, the white attorney general, didn't know, but they knew that if you had moved there with the slave owner, then if you lived there for 6 months, you would be automatically free. And so George Washington, or George and Martha Washington, figured out, they decided, okay, they'll rotate all their slaves, and so they'll take them back to slaveholding territory every 6 months. They'll take them back to slaveholding territory to sort of reset the clock. Okay. So next, what do I have next on Out There? You know what? I'm going to play an old clip from, this is from February of last year. This is about Blue Apron. I'm talking with some of my coworkers, my trash hauling coworkers, about this Blue Apron thing. I've seen the boxes sometimes.
At Blue Apron, we grow food differently. Our chefs and farmers plant crops together to make farmland healthier and grow ingredients that taste better. Learn how we're building a better food system at blueapron.com/vision.
So the way I first found out about Blue Apron was when Clarissa came home one day last month from her Petal People route with a bag full of individually wrapped two scallions and a plastic bag, a sprig of rosemary in a plastic bag, three pieces of kale in a plastic bag. And we were just like, what is this? And she explained it was individually portioned, boxed things to make your cooking easier.
Perfect recipe. Yeah.
So you're familiar with it too?
Yeah, it's like you subscribe and they send it to you and they give you the recipe and exactly what you need to cook it. So like every ingredient in the exact proportion you want.
So you don't even need a...
You don't even need to...
Fingers to count on.
You can be really lazy.
So how does it get to you?
They ship it to you.
FedEx truck? How does the box get to your door?
Is it FedEx? I don't know.
UPS or FedEx. It's like some stinky truck, right? So do you know where it comes from? Like, where does the food come from?
I don't know. It certainly wasn't coming from where I was living. I was living on Nantucket. And
What is their claim about better farming or whatever? Is that, what do they mean by that?
It's pretty vague.
A better food system means getting the food you want to your house without regard to any kind of environmental destruction that it may cause. That's what it means.
What were you thinking?
All right, well, what I remember about it is a very large box. I had heard about it, and it sounded like there was a good deal to begin with, so I thought, I'll try this out. And this big box arrives on my doorstep, and at first it was great. I was like, wow, here's a little bag that has all the herbs I need. Like, here's a little bag with all the spices I need, and I can just make dinner quickly. And I was living by myself at the time, and it was kind of like this lonely existence, but I could, like, cook good food quickly.
Did you feel like it was love in the box?
Yeah, it was like love in a box. No. It has a picture for everything, so you can, like, see. You don't even really have to read. You can just look at the pictures.
Yeah.
But it came in these big insulated bags, and, like, the insulated bags started piling up because...
They don't take them back?
No. Not that I was aware of. And so after a while, it just started getting to me, like, these guilty pangs of, like, all of the packaging materials that were going into it. And I wasn't quite sure what to do with all these insulated bags that looked, like, pretty fancy, and a lot of energy had gone into it.
Did you feel like you had less food waste because you were getting everything that went into your meal and then eating it all?
No, because my family's clean plate club anyway. Like, that's how we were raised. So... No, not much difference that way. And, yeah, eventually the packaging became too much, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And also the price. Like, after a while, it didn't really make sense anymore. But, yeah, I'm curious, like, I'm curious what other people have to say about it. And if maybe they're improving their packaging system.
Yeah, because this was 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I mean, here, it doesn't seem like there's much need. At least in my current situation, like, get really good local food.
I think it's a really good idea for people who don't really know how to cook. It's like, stuff comes to you, it's a vetted recipe, you don't need to research it, it's all there, and you're actually learning to cook. And then you can learn to, like, kind of do it yourself.
That's how I justified it to myself. I was like, oh, I'm just going to learn these recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I cook any of those anymore.
That's the piece of it that I've heard. So I've talked with a lot of CSA farmers who say that they've, like, tried to incorporate more elements of Blue Apron into their CSA shares. So if they distribute a box, they'll, like, have certain ingredients in it and try to distribute recipes with that people can make.
How successful has it been?
I don't know. All I know is that farmers have tried to, like, have felt that that's something that consumers are demanding and that is appreciated by people that they deliver shares to.
What are some of the concerns or opinions that you've heard from local CSA, your local farmers, about Blue Apron?
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard a lot of different types of responses that people have had. Like, some CSA farmers think that they really have to work hard to match the same sorts of conveniences that are offered in a service like Blue Apron. And so in offering CSA shares, they're trying to be a lot more, like, trying to cater towards the convenience, like, towards the specific things that customers want, or, like, putting specific recipes in each box or doing different things like that that are more similar to Blue Apron. But I've also heard from other farms who have felt like it's sort of a futile effort to try to replicate what's being done by those sorts of services. And I've heard from people that it's sort of, like, that are trying to work against that sort of ethos of convenience and trying to, like, provide some really good healthy food, but trying to do it in a way that emphasizes all the things that you get from supporting farms that treat workers well, that care about environmental practices, and that have other values. And so those CSA farmers are saying they're just trying more to tell their story about why they're doing what they're doing and don't try to match what's being done by the larger box shares.
You don't know where the food's coming from. Like, do they get food from local farms, or do you know?
So I don't know where all the produce is coming from Blue Apron, and I think they do some regional buying of produce in different locations. I don't know of any farmers in the Pioneer Valley who are selling to Blue Apron, so I don't think that there's very local produce in those boxes.
Oh, I see.
From a waste hauler's perspective, Lingang, what are some of the waste issues you see with the food delivery services like Blue Apron and things, box stuff like that?
Definitely box, and also the things that kind of like a gel ice type of thing. They try to keep the ingredient, whatever food, fresh, And those things are super heavy for compost.
This gel that mm-hmm. you just put in the mm-hmm. compost dumpster, yeah. can you describe it? I don't even know how to describe it.
Me neither.
I thought it was ice when I first
touched it. It's kind of solid inside. Outside looks like a plastic, like foam type.
Yeah.
But inside it's kind of like ice. It's pretty cold. Uh-huh. And it's heavy.
That's a big thing for us, for the waste haulers, it's heavy.
Yeah, it's very heavy.
Any idea what it's made out of?
Not sure.
But the customer had it just in their compost bucket like this?
Yeah, they throw it in their compost bucket.
Huh.
And they also have that type of bag to surround the food or something. Uh-huh. It's like very heavy.
The plastic bag?
No, actually it's a paper bag. And inside is like all like paper, some kind of mushy shredded paper inside. Uh-huh. I have no idea. That also is heavy too. Yeah.
Huh. Well, this stuff, I don't know what's in it, but it feels okay when I squish it between my fingers. It just feels like water.
Hmm.
With, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure what type of stuff is
that. I hope it's compostable.
I hope.
The mysteries of life. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That piece about food delivery services, like Blue Apron, the speakers on there, the last interview was Lingang, before that Kristen Wilmer, and before that Eric Lokensgaard, with some comments from Steve Shea. The earlier part of that before Lingang was at the Monday night potluck at my house. And I also want to mention that the Saturday Farmers Market in downtown Northampton is going every Saturday from 9 until 2 at the Senior Center on Cons Street. And something else I've been thinking about is something else that I saw today or this week. I was emptying downtown trash barrels, and there was a water bottle in the recycling bin, but it had this label on it, like a barcode or a receipt kind of label on it that looked like someone had maybe like ordered it online or through their cell phone and it had gotten delivered. I was mystified. So something else that it's been on my radar is the cost of recycling cans and bottles is going up due to international market forces, especially China not wanting our crap anymore. So I think at some recycling centers, well, I'm not sure how the price will affect general customers. The price, some people may be charged for cans and bottles recycling, which what that made me think as a waste hauler, cans and bottles recycling, the really heavy stuff is the wine bottles. So as a waste hauler, I'm like, maybe pedal people should do a campaign to get our customers to smoke pot instead of drinking wine. But then I also realized, I think, I don't even know what the pot comes in, because I think some of it comes in little glass vials. So many compromises. Well, thanks for listening to Out There. I'm going to play one more song before Democracy Now! Comes up. Democracy Now! Comes up at 5 o'clock. Thanks for listening today. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And, also this Saturday and every Saturday is the Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue. Here we go.
I found a bike today. It looks so good. Why did you throw it away?
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Benton, el taller de bicicleta, y a divertirte.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is. Ya súbase a la bici, compa.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a comer. This is awesome.
Now, walk into the club like, what up? I got a big. I'm just pumped. I bought some from a thrift shop. Ice on the fringe is so frosty. The people like,
that's a cold honky.
Rolling in hella deep, headed to the mezzanine. Dressed in all pink, set my gator shoes. Those are green draped in a leopard mink. Girl standing next to me, probably should have washed this. Smells like R. Kelly sheets. But it was 99 cents. I get copping it, washing it. About to go and get some compliments. Passing up on those moccasins. Someone else has been walking in bummy and grungy. And I am stunting and flossing and saving my money. And I'm hella happy that's a bargain. I'ma take your grandpa style. I'ma take your grandpa style. No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand me down? Your Lord jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie Brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game, hell no. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads would be like,
ah, he got the Velcro. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
Ow.
I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What she know about rocking the wolf on your noggin? What she knowin' about wearing a fur fox skin? Whoa. I'm digging, I'm searching right through that luggage. One man's trash, that's another man's come up. Thank your granddad for donating that plaid button up shirt, cause right now I'm up in her skirt. I'm at the Goodwill, you can find me in the I'm not stuck on searching in the section. Your grandma, your auntie, your mama, your mammy. I'll take those flannel zebra jammies secondhand and rock that. The built-in onesie with the socks on them. I hit the party and they stop and they be like, oh, that Gucci, that's hella tight. I'm like, yo, that's $50 for a t-shirt. Limited edition, let's do some simple edition. $50 for a t-shirt, that's just some ignorant. All that, getting swindled and pimped. All that, getting tricked by business. That shirt's hella dope. And having the same one as six other people in this club is a hella don't. Peep gang, come take a look through my telescope. Trying to get girls from a brand, man, you hella won't. Then you hella won't.
Goodwill. Popping tags. Yeah.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a comma. This is awesome. I'll wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big coat from that thrift shop down the road. I'm gonna pop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a comer. This is awesome.